right, welcome tonight to our Wednesday night Bible study. And, you know, the past couple of weeks with me have been a little bit more busier than usual with things going on with my mother and other things. But, you know, the thing that has came to me is, you know, in spite of everything, I go to bed and sleep well at night and, you know, just kind of, I mean, I'm not panicked or anything. And so I just got to, you know, one of my favorite verses is God is my strength and my refuge. And I've been calling on that. So my Bible study tonight is called God is Our Strength. Yay. And I want to dedicate this to Sherry as she helps out her friend. And to anyone else who has a day or a week or circumstances where you think, I can't do this on my own, because I'm here to tell you, I could not be where I'm at, physically or emotionally, if God was not with me. Because if the same circumstances had happened years ago, especially after I first started coming out here to New Life over 30 some years ago, I would have been like in panic mode or frustrated or exhausted or fearful, the emotions that seem to want to creep in. But now that I've sat under such good teaching and I've gotten into the Word, and you start really believing what the Word says and start really believing it, then you get a strength in you that's not your natural strength. So in this world, and I'm talking world now, our world system, where do most people go to get strength to get through the day, or what they think they need to get through the day? The gym. Some of them drink. They choose bad habits. Coffee. Caffeine. Okay. Vitamins. Eating right. Self-help books. Do you all know me well enough to know I don't like self-help books? Because it says you're helping yourself, and when we're in God, we don't help ourselves. God helps us. I'm not opposed to self-help books, but you do not depend on self-help books. Other people, relationships, staying busy, work, not staying busy, food. I know what it's like to be a food addict. Praise God, I am no longer a food addict. But yes, whatever we run to in order to get our strength and our calmness and keep us going throughout the day. And I know people that go through this physical health with a passion, and I'm telling you, I don't have that. But in, you know, after I had my surgery, which was a year ago Friday, by the way, I had my bariatric surgery, and we go to the support groups. There are people, the younger ones, they have gotten into it, and they're still doing it for the first year. It kind of slips off each year. But, I mean, they go to the gym 3 and 4 hours a day, and they're running marathons, and they're doing this, and they're just pushing for this physical health with everything that they have. And that's a good thing, but it's like Ms. Laverne said, that could be an addiction too. And or they might go to seminars, all these self-help seminars, encouraging seminars, life-inspiring seminars. Or they read books about how to be emotionally stable or how to have inner peace. And they go to these things that show secret formulas for getting inner peace. So then they get involved with maybe other religions or some of the, especially some of the Eastern-type religions that go on. They are just looking for something to make their life better. Well, and nowadays people are looking for strength within themselves. You know, they're being told, you are your own strength. You create your own destiny. You go after it with gusto. You know, you are your own inner higher power, you know. Which I'm not saying I agree with all that, all the New Age stuff. And so they get in on this thing, I've got to be strong. I've got to do it, and I've got to, you know, be the strong one. Or they look for security, and they do it through how much money they have in the bank, or how intelligent they are, or who they're married to, or, you know, the things like that. And that's where they find their ultimate security. Or maybe in their beauty, or in other people. Looking for something. And I'm here to tell you, we are not, as human beings with our flaws, we aren't strong enough on our own to break addictive habits, though the programs out there are good, or to resist temptation, or to quit making poor, selfish choices, because as human beings, that is our makeup until we are born again and we get that new spirit of God in us. Then it is through the strength of God and the Holy Spirit that we are able to start making better choices, and we are able to see things and make our decisions. And being a Christian, we have to be dependent. And the word dependent has turned into such a negative connotation. But we have to be dependent on God. We do not need to be dependent on someone else. And when I use the word dependent, that's different than depending upon. There's lots of words involved in that. So what I want to talk about tonight is that moral strength that we get to make good moral choices. Or that emotional endurance that we need as humans to get through what life throws at us, or what Satan throws at us. And that spiritual power to be connected with God. That's what I want to talk about tonight. And there are no secret formulas out there outside the Word of God. And it's not a secret formula. There is nothing secret in this Word. God wants us to know what's in there. He is not hiding anything from us. There is no secret formula. It's in the Word, and it's for us. The Word is for us. And nothing can compare. There is nothing. There is nothing out here that the world can offer any of us that compares to the strength that God offers us and gives to us. You know, God has the strength to break any bondage that has us entangled in it. Any bondage. Any bondage that binds us to destruction. Any bondage that binds us to the works of Satan. His power, not ours, but His power through us is what can break it. And we sing a song here at New Life called Chainbreaker. And it talks about breaking the bondage and breaking, you know, if you need to be out of jail, God can get you out of it. And He provides the path, and He takes the pain away and all the things that people are struggling with. And then they're trying to find answers for. And it's right here. And it's right with God. So I got to thinking, what does it really mean to be strong? To be strong. Well, some would say it's physical power. You know, like the weightlifters and the bodybuilders that have those muscles, and now the women are into it also, and oh, they work out and their muscles are over exaggerated. But do you know, I don't care what kind of physical power they have, it doesn't help the spirit man. Then it might be you're strong if you have the ability to control others. If you think that you have enough power within you to control other people, that makes you strong. You know, you have the ability to control other people. But you know, God's given us so many other kinds of strengths that we need in order to walk through life and to be victorious when we come out of life. We aren't going to need all this when we get to heaven. We need His strength here on earth to get through what goes on in life. So the dictionary defines strength as, and when I'm given these definitions, think, how does that apply to God? Because this is what the word strength means. The quality or degree of being strong. We have a strong God? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. The quality or degree of being strong. And I can tell you, I don't care how strong any pastor is out there or any church leader, none are stronger than God is. You know, when we talk about strength, you have medicines that come in like 10 milligram tablets and 20 milligrams tablets and 30 milligram tablets. And the doctor will say, well, what strength of medicine are you taking? Well, some of it can be 10, some of it can be 50. And so it goes up in different degrees. God is the ultimate degree of strength that there is. The ultimate. Are the other church leaders strong? Yes. We all have strengths that God has put in us. But God is the ultimate strength, and that's where we have to keep it to. God is the ultimate strength. It's the strongest part of something. Strength is the strongest part of something. Isn't that part of one of God's characteristics, is his strength? It's also something that we can find confidence in and rely upon. Now, you might have some confidence in yourself, and there's nothing wrong with it, especially if God put it there in order for you to do a job he's called you to. He equips us to do what we need to do. And so, like, say he's called me to be a teacher. There was a time in my life when I was in high school, and I had to take public speaking. And when I had to stand up and talk, I broke out in hives so bad, they had to send me to the emergency room. And it was nothing but stress. So then I get to Berea, and I have to do a public speaking. And I couldn't handle it. I was terrified. And I would talk real low and keep my voice down, and I would mumble. And I was terrified to speak in public. Terrified. But look what God did in me. This isn't Martha. You can ask my sisters. I was the shyest, the most socially awkward one of all the four kids. And standing up, if you had told me God is going to have you teaching, I would have said, you all miss this one. That's the truth. I would have. I would have said, you all miss this one. But if that's what he calls you to do, then he's going to equip you with that. But it can't be confidence in yourself. And it can't, and you can have, you know, I know Sherry is married to Cole, and Linda's married to Glenn, and Miss Laverne's married to Pastor Jerry. And they have confidence in their spouses, and they rely upon their spouses, but not above God. Not above God. Strength is also a real positive attribute. So, of course, God has nothing but positive attributes. Another word for strength is an armed force or body of troops. When they're talking about a country, they will talk about the strength of its military. Have you heard them talk about that on the news, the strength of the military? Guess what? Our leader has the strongest army that there is. Yes, I mean, God's army, you all, is strong. You know, he's got angels at his disposal. He's got people at his disposal. His army is strong. Another word for strength is a strong place, or what they call a stronghold. And it's a safe place, like in the military, a safe place where, or a stronghold where, especially in the military, it is reinforced. And it's protected, and it's supposed to be a place where they can hunker down, and the enemy can't get to them, and it's been well devised out and well planned out. God has those strongholds for us. He does. He has those strongholds. Yes, it's safe places. Safe places, absolutely. And they are also looking for what they call sanctuary cities for certain people. And if there are women that's being abused, there are safe places where they can go underground and be protected. And so the world even provides safe places for all the things that are going on. when you have maybe like a mental illness, your therapist might say to you, and where is your safe place that you can go, which is their way of saying, who is your safe person that you could go and talk to? And that those persons get to be listed. So the world has came up with ways of providing safe places. But, oh, our Father God, he provides the safest place that we can ever have, and that is sitting in his bosom, wrapped most high, and with his arms wrapped around us. So, you know, we can kind of think about strength and God and God, how strong our God is. And so that means he's very capable. He's above capable of producing great physical force. Read some of the stories that's in the Bible where God has came through with his physical force when it was needed, where he wiped out armies that were coming against the children of Israel. And it was him. It was him. He's also very capable, and I thought this was kind of understanding when they were talking about strong, capable of understanding other great forces. Now, one of the greatest forces that we think of, or that has been, depending on which church it came from, that is strong is Satan. Oh, oh, oh. Guess what? We have a God that is stronger than Satan, and we have a God that understands Satan, and whatever strong things he wants to throw at us, and whatever threats he wants to throw at us, we have a God that is bigger and better and stronger than Satan is. So if we want to put him in, if that's a strong force, and there's a part of you that kind of fears Satan or what he can do to you, or you were raised in a church that maybe you kind of fear what Satan can do, rest assured, our God is stronger. You do not have to worry about Satan. God has got it under control. All we have to worry about is to keep our relationship with God. God, right, greater is he that is within me than he that's within the world. And that's what makes us greater. I'll be honest with you. Would I want to face Satan and his demons without God? No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. But now I don't have to worry about facing Satan and his demons. God's got this. All I have to do is what God tells me to do in the circumstances. Determined. Strong is determined and unyielding. And I want to tell you what. Our God is determined to have us for his own. And he is unyielding to anyone that tries to keep him from getting to his children. Blocks come up and our choices come into play. But now God himself, when you call out for God's help and your heart is sincere, nothing will stop him from getting to you. Nothing. He will not say it is too strong. In the story of Daniel, in the Old Testament, he started praying about a certain circumstance, and it took God, he thought, it took God several weeks to answer the prayer. And so Daniel, being human, said, well, God, what took you so long, or to the angel of God that came, what took you so long to get here and take care of me and my issue? And the angel said, God sent me out as soon as you called upon his name, but I have been fighting the prince of Persia, which is symbolic of the demons and Satan, who was trying to keep this angel from getting to Daniel. He said, I've been having to fight him, but I'm here. But as soon as you cried out to God, he sent me out. And so, granted, maybe the answer hasn't come in the time and we think of, but it does not mean that the answer is not on its way. Another thing about being strong is having wealth and resources. Now, in our world, don't it seem that people have money can get things done, where some people that don't have money can't get things done? Because wealth in this world rules things, but it's not done legally, and it's not done ethically, and it's not done morally. But we have a Father. What is it David says? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. There, I mean, Yes, I mean, you know, our God has resources, and if it hasn't been created yet and we need it, he'll create it. He has wealth. There is nobody on the face of this earth that's any wealthier than God is. And so here we have a Heavenly Father that has all the wealth and all the resources, and if he don't have it, he'll create it if we need it. That's El Shaddai. That's right. So here we have this wonderful Heavenly Father, and he wants to give us strength to walk through this life victorious. Now listen to me. Irregardless of the circumstances that you're facing. Well, now, Miss Martha, you haven't been through what I've been through. Well, that's probably true. I haven't. But I have been through some stuff. And if I haven't been through it, I've seen other Christians in my life that's been through stuff, and I've seen how they've handled it and how they've came out on top of it. I know one thing. My God is going to take care of me. He is going to take care of me. So the most important thing about getting strength from God is to have a constant, unswerving, stable, I think it's in the Old Testament and the New where it talks about you're not tossed to and fro with every teaching that comes along and all this. You're stable. You are anchored in God and the Word of God. Yes. And right. And you don't get shaken. So when the winds come and the storms come in life, you don't get shaken. Might you want to get shaken? Yeah, we're human. We are. But the thing about the person that has that inner strength, even though they get attacked with circumstances and their spirit man gets attacked with maybe a little bit of, oh, God, what's going to happen? You know, what's going to happen? I know you're going to take care of it. What's going to happen is that it doesn't last very long. It might be long enough for us to get our Bible out and read a word, or for a brother and sister in the Lord to pray with us and say, hey, listen, you know, this word, the Bible says, remember, the Bible says, God heals all your diseases. Yeah, you get told you have cancer. I'm not going to say, I wouldn't sit there and go and take a deep breath. My sister, you know, she battled cancer. When she came in, she talked about it. She told us what kind it was. She wasn't shaky, screamy, panicky. Concerned? Yes. What do we need to do medically? And how do we need people to pray? That was her two basic things. How do we take care of it medically? And how do I want people to pray? And her other thing was, and who am I going to ask to pray for me? Because she didn't want people that buried her and planned her funeral. She wanted people that would say to her, Charlotte, don't worry about it. You're going to live. This disease is not going to kill you. And that is going to fill you up with the Word. So you have that moment. But when you have that strong relationship with God, it goes back to normal. And the way I saw this phrase came to me. You ever heard of people saying, oh, I talked to so-and-so today, and they got this going on, they got that going on, and boy, are they bent out of shape. You hear the term bent out of shape? Well, you know, some things bend, and they don't go back. Once they're bent, they're bent. You know, certain types of metals, and, I mean, you put a car in a bad car wreck, it's bent. It's dented, and it don't pop back out. And that's how people in this life are sometimes. They get circumstances thrown at them, they walk through things, and they get bent out of shape. And unfortunately, they haven't developed what they call a resilient, that's the word, resilient type of spirit. Resilient is R-E-S-I-L-I-E-N-T. And what that word means, because what I saw, I had to look up some words to get to the word I wanted, was the really bent, out of shape type form over here. And then there's the one, like the rubber band or the piece of elastic that you can kind of stretch it out a little bit, but when you let it go, it goes back to normal calmness, you lay it down and it looks like it did before. As Christians, we need to be resilient. We need to be elastic in the hands of God. We need to be flexible in the hands of God, so that when we might have a little moment of being bent out of shape, it does not stay there for any length of time before our spirit man picks up the word of God, either in our head, by others reading the word, prayer, however it is, the word of God. Once you get saturated in it, it's there. I will encourage those who aren't really studying your Bible or not sitting under strong teachings and things like that, I want to encourage you all, don't wait till things get bad to call upon the word of God. Have it inside you. Have it ready at will. Now, even when Miriam was 16, I think. Miriam was 16. She was raised in this church. She wasn't one of these super strong Christians. I mean, she was only 16. How much strength did she have? Versus Miss Laverne here, who's been a Christian since about you were born. You and me kind of slept.
Actually, I was 11 years old when I made a confession.
11 years old, but has been exposed. Been exposed to the word. I'm sure she was like me. 6 weeks old, I was sleeping underneath the pews of the church. And so it wasn't like I wasn't hearing the word, the word, the word. Unfortunately, I didn't hear the word. And but if you hear the word, so when Miriam had her wreck and she knew she had lost, get this, you all, she had lost control of the car. Her. Human Miriam had lost control of the car. The first words out of her mouth, if I remember correctly, is, "In Jesus' name." In Jesus' name. And that's all it took. And was she injured? Yes. She should have been killed. I mean, as a nurse, I saw her x-rays. I saw the things, a very rare, rare type of fracture. In her. Yes, and that should have caused her lungs to collapse. Right. But, I mean, she didn't die at the scene.
No, she didn't die.
And so God worked it out. She has four beautiful children, you know, and God was there, and all she knew to do was call out in the name of Jesus. But that's all it takes, isn't it?
Yes.
That's all it takes, is to know that you call upon the name of Jesus. Well, you know, Miss Laverne, when Pastor Jerry died a couple years ago, and for those who are listening to this and don't know my pastor, he is well and healthy and going to be teaching and preaching, and he didn't stay dead. But when he died, thank God, when he died, Laverne started quoting the word over him, the word, verses, the word, the literal word. And God honored his word, because it says God will honor his word. She didn't have to find her Bible. She didn't have to call all of us in the church to say, "You all, this has happened, and you know, I need, you know." And I'm not saying that's not good. By all means, share things with your brother and sister in the Lord. But there will come times with circumstances with Satan, because that's just the way he does things. You're going to be caught alone. You're going to be caught quick, and you're going to have to be able to retrieve the knowledge of what God means to you.
That's why the word says to hide his word in your heart.
Yes. And I do believe there's going to come a time we won't have the literal pages of the Bible, but they can't take anything. I don't care if they do come in and take our Bibles away, the government or the world or whatever. You keep it. They can't take it out of your heart. They can't take it out of your heart. And so here we have this wonderful, resilient spirit man that goes back to the normal state of being comfortable with God and being at peace with what's happening there, regardless of what's going on out there, while others are bent out of shape and stay bent out of shape. And some of them never get back into shape. Some of them walk away. Some of them stay angry and bitter because of what God allowed to happen. And again, blaming God for that stuff, but that's what they felt, and God allowed things to happen, and I have dealt with that situation where God allowed things to happen. But with the kind of strength God has for us, we as Christians should know without a shadow of a doubt that we can overcome any obstacle, any challenge, any circumstances Satan can throw our way, not because of who we are in our flesh, but who he is in us. It still goes back to God, but we can overcome. We are overcomers. It says that in the Bible. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and the word of our testimony. And God knew just what we would need to handle things in this world, and he has not left us with no equipment to grab a hold of. He gives us courage when we think we don't have courage. He gives us abilities and skills when we didn't think we had them. And when we feel that our own strength is failing for whatever reason, we can always call up God. Call on God. We are never, never alone. If anyone is sitting out there right now that hears me and you're saying, I have no friends, I have no one I can depend on, I am truly, truly alone. And there are people that are truly alone if you count what the world provides. Unfortunately, a lot of them are in nursing homes, and the elderly, a lot of the elderly population is truly alone. But you know, if you have God, you are never truly alone. It says he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never leave you alone. And God is always on our side. We don't have to ever worry when circumstances and things come up. Is God on our side? The other thing is, you know, my granddaughter recently made a poor decision, teenage decision, not just bad, but a teenage decision, and she was terrified when she found out her parents were going to come in. And she called me, and she said to me, "Now I want to come and live with you. My parents hate me. They hate me. They won't want me around. Please come and get me." I said, "Did they tell you they hated you? What did they say?" "Well, I haven't talked to them yet. I haven't told them. They don't know it, but they're on their way, and now they're going to hate me." Minta and Antonio did not hate Olivia. Did they like what happened? No. But do they hate her? No. But we sometimes are afraid to go to God, our Heavenly Father, because we messed up, and we're afraid he's going to hate us. This loving Heavenly Father that sent his own son down here to die for us, and we make a mistake, and he is going to hate us. I even heard today, I was talking to someone, and this man had said to his teenage daughter, "I'm done with you. I'm done with you. I can't see me saying that to my child." And my child has given me some reasons over the years if I want it to be done. But it didn't matter. Did I get aggravated? Yes. Did I sometimes I just want to shake her? Yes. But was there ever a time I wanted to say, "I'm done with you. Don't call me anymore. I'm through. I'm done." Well, see, if we as earthly parents can love our children to that magnitude, think about the love that God has for us. Yes. How much more does your heavenly... Yes. And so for anybody out there that says, "Oh, but Miss Martha, I have really messed up. I have made so many bad decisions in the past. I just can't go back to God." Maybe you feel, you know, you got saved. You even had a good relationship with him. But over the years, circumstances came in and you have kind of walked away from him. And you kind of avoided him. And maybe, you know, made some comments against him or tried other things that you know he's not pleased with, not for himself but for you, and you say, I just can't go back and say, "Oh yes you can." There is nothing that you can't go to your Heavenly Father with and say, "God, I need you, and I'm back, and I'm sorry." And you will never not see love in him. So this strength that God gives us comes from within. It comes within us. It's given to us, but it's inside of us because of the Holy Spirit. And when you have this kind of strength that God gives you, you have a peace that will pass all understanding. When other parents, you know, I know that when Allie was so sick when she was 4 years old and we were at the children's house, there were parents that they would have to exchange with each other because one of them would be crying so hard, and then they would come in, and the nurses was saying, you know, you need to let, you know, the children need to know it's going to be okay. You know, it's going to be, whatever happens, it's still going to be okay. But the parents were so distraught, and they were walking in so much fear and anxiety, and your heart is broke. I'm not going to say your heart's not broke, but this overwhelming fear and anxiety and crying and screaming and pleading for doctors, do something. You've got to try something else when the news is bad. But there is a peace that passes all understanding, no matter how bad the news is. And that comes through God's strength. Understanding that God loves us and He is always, always here to help us whenever we call on Him should give us some peace. And, you know, we can no more move a mountain under our own physical strength. None of us. I don't care. In order to move a mountain, when they want to put roads and tunnels through, they have to get big machines and dynamite and explosives, and it takes 5 or 6 years to get it done. So, in our flesh, we can't move mountains. So, what about the verse in the Bible that says, if you have a mustard seed of faith, you can move mountains? And we sing a song here, every mountain will move. Yeah, you know why? The mountains they're talking about in the Bible is the ones where you have a mustard seed of faith in God, not in yourself, not in the road crew, not in all of that. And yeah, can we move mountains? If God needed us to move a physical mountain, it would move. It would move. If it's a mountain of life, it will move. If whatever mountain we need to move, as long as we turn over to God, He can move it. Remember, He created the mountains. He can move the mountains. But can we move a mountain in our own flesh? Nope. I'm here to tell you, you can't do it. But the Word says you can if you have a mustard seed of faith in God. Psalms 46:1, one of my favorite scriptures. I've got to the point I don't even have a favorite scripture. It's one of my favorites. It's the one that you're reading right now. Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, is there anybody out there that is in trouble? You have troubles around you. Don't know what to do with your troubles. Okay, let's go back and see what this, and it's a very simple verse. I forgot which translation. I didn't write it down. I got this from. But I was thinking you could put that on an index card and put it up somewhere. This is a quick one to memorize. And maybe you're going to be in a position sometime, and all you have to say is, the Word says, God is my refuge. Make it personal for you. God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God, I am in trouble. Your Word says you're my present help, and you are my refuge, and you are my strength. That's all you have to know. You don't have to quote chapters and chapters. You don't even have to get every word right. As long as you know the principle that God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in time of trouble. And so that's a verse I want to encourage people. Memorize that verse. Put it in your heart. Lock it away. The word present help, I did a study on it because, I'll be honest, I thought present help meant like now. Present, in the present. But you know, God isn't a God of time. You know that. He was, He is, He will be, and it's all wrapped up in one big old circle, and there's no beginning and no end or anything like that. When I looked it up, present help is that kind of help that has been found, and this is not even a Christian definition. Present help is that kind of help that has been found, that has been found and proven that you can rely on, depend on, find trustworthy, and find security. Yes. It's well proven that it can be relied on, depended on, trustworthy, and secured. The dictionary says present help is that which has been proven. But the amplified. Okay. In another source I read in regards to God, he can be relied on, depended on, he is trustworthy, and he is our security. God's help is proven to be a reliable stronghold for us in the past. And so go back to what you remember happens in the past, bring it forward, and it should help you with any future disaster that's coming down the road that Satan wants to have. Okay, God, this doesn't look good, but you know, this didn't look good back then. You know, it didn't look good in 2008 with Allie. God, it didn't look good here. It didn't look good here. It didn't look good here, but you came through. So why do I worry about what's going to happen in the future? You have proven yourself over and over and over again. So, yes, God, I don't have to worry about my future. You've taken care of my past. You take care of my present, and you are going to take care of my future. So those of you who have a fear of the future, and I am really, there are a lot of people out there now that fear the future. They really do. Last week when I had my mom to the doctor, you're sitting around in the waiting rooms, you know, and you get a lot of conversations going on, or whenever it was, but it was when the strikes with Iran was going on in Iraq, and people were saying this was happening, and yeah, world war was going to happen, and this was going to happen. There were people that was very fearful, and these were people that I know are churchgoers, and they were very fearful. And so one of them kind of said to me, doesn't it just make you nervous? I said, no, not really. And you know what, I was being honest, it didn't. And they just kind of looked at me. I said, God is going to take care of us, you know. And you finally have to get to that point, because if you listen to the news, you will walk in fear for your future. But with God, you have no reason to fear the future, because God has our future. Psalms 62:7. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. And my refuge is in God. Here's another good one. David's got it all throughout Psalms. I would have to teach for the next year, you know, if I picked out every scripture that David wrote about God being his glory and salvation and refuge and strength. He repeated it over and over because it was worth repeating. When we don't know where to turn, we turn to God. And he always welcomes us, and he always has an answer. When we feel we can't go on, do you know that he can put extra energy in you, even if you've gone without sleep for nights and nights and nights? If you need that extra energy, he'll put it in you. When we feel alone, call upon God, and you will feel his presence so strong. You don't feel lonely. Hebrews 13:9. It is well for the heart to be strengthened by grace. Our heart is strengthened by grace. And that came to me, and it was from another translation I was reading when Pastor went to the hospital this week, and I was praying for him. And I know one of his favorite verses was, "My heart is fixed on you, O Lord." But this kind of came up, and I thought, what? You know, I wasn't, so I kind of studied it, and this is the verse that came that I really just, it is well for the heart to be strengthened by grace. Not only does God strengthen our spiritual heart, he will also strengthen our physical heart if we need it. And Bobby, if you're listening to this, that's for you. So here we are, our hearts are getting heavy. You ever had a heavy heart? Do you know that, you know, in that big old thick book, it's called the ICD-9 book, and it's where you have to get the diagnosis out for certain things in order for your insurances to pay for it, and you better pick out the right one or it'll get denied and all this. There is an ICD-9 diagnosis code called broken heart. Broken heart. Cardiac arrest, broken heart. people die from a broken heart and from heaviness of the heart. And so here you are. It's another day. Same old grind. You're trying to get through the rat race. You're in the middle of traffic. Your bank accounts are short and you can't figure out how to get all your bills paid. You go to the Walmart and all the people are around and everybody's hateful and they aren't giving you any, you know. Just a bad day. Everything you do, every day after day after day after day, is just one big old mundane day. Feeling pressured. People are putting pressure on you. Family's putting pressure on you. Feeling pressured. And how about having to deal with imperfect people that seem to bring out the worst in you? Yes, it is. It's those imperfect people's fault. You all, I still am going to do a Bible study on this book that I read by a pastor's wife, and it's called "Can We Kill Them and Just Say They Ran, They Went Away or Something?" And it's about relationships. And I'm sorry, imperfect people do not bring out the worst in you, not when you're a Christian, because God brings out the best in you. You have a list of responsibilities that you know you cannot get done, even if you only go on 4 hours of sleep a day, and people keep adding to it, and you have all these people are feeling all these expectations. Or what about the one who's feeling guilty because they haven't done everything and they don't do everything perfectly? It doesn't, I mean, any spectrum. It just isn't a good life. It's just heavy and tiring and exhausted. Well, I have a solution for your life issues. Do you ever catch yourself saying in the mornings, "Help me, God, I can't get through another day. I need your strength." Your problem is, if your days are that heavy, you're relying on your own strength. And I'm sorry, it will not work. I don't care how organized you are, how strong you are, how healthy you are. In order to get through this life with joy in spite of things, you got to have the strength of God. He is your joy. He gives us joy. He is your joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord. And who does he rejoice joy over? Us. The joy that he has for us as his children gives us inner strength. In Habakkuk, and I found this to be a really interesting chapter, I mean book. I hadn't read it, really. I've read part of it, you know, but it's only three chapters for those who are out there and want to do a Bible study on a short book of the Bible. So I did. I've been reading Habakkuk, and I'm not going to get into it all because it's just, he's a prophet, and I'll tell you just a little bit about it, because it goes back to Habakkuk 3:19, which is the final chapter of Habakkuk toward the end of the book. Habakkuk says, "The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels." H-I-L-L-S, not high heels, H-E-E-L-S. If you want to wear high heels, that's fine, but you'll have to kind of walk on your own. If you can't wear high heels without falling, then don't wear them. But what he's saying here is, he will make me walk on my high heels, or mountains. Now, you remember last week when I talked about in the Song of Solomon that the woman was looking for her lover to come over the mountains, and how graceful he was, like a gazelle. Those animals, deer and gazelle and mountain goats, and those animals God has created to be able to go up and down the mountainsides that are very, very steep, and they don't lose their footing. Have you thought of that? Well, that's what Habakkuk is saying here. He will make my feet like deer's feet. Why? So that we can walk over the circumstances of this life that feel like a mountain. We don't have to struggle up the mountainside. He gives us feet like deer's feet, where we can walk up over the mountains and get there. The name Habakkuk, interesting enough, means embrace. And this signifies that Habakkuk was embraced by God and was strengthened by God to do a difficult task. You see, Habakkuk lived during one of the worst times in Judah's history. And y'all know Judah's the other half of what we call Israel. One of the worst times in history. The Babylonians had invaded. The citizens of the country were treated cruelly by the ones they had came in to invade them. The poor were oppressed as bad as any time in Israel's history. And the legal system had totally collapsed. Does that sound like anything that's going on in the world, folks? So, if you're worried about America and how you're going to handle it, please read the book of Habakkuk. You see, Habakkuk starts his book by complaining about the government, the state of his country, how things was going, probably like what a lot of us have done about America and how things are going politically. He does. He starts out in chapter 1, does he not, Miss Laverne, in a complaining mode. But him and God have some good talks along the way. We don't know everything that was said, but I know he did. Because by the time he got to chapter 3, he is sharing all this confidence he has in God to take care of his country and the people. And that is the time after, see, you know, you say, oh, that sounds good. The Lord is, God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels. That sounds pretty good. But wait until you get the history behind it that says, that's what Habakkuk was saying in the worst time of Judah's history. He's saying this. Oh, yeah, it looks bad for my country, but guess what? God's taking care of my feet. It's under my feet. It's under my feet. So if you are, yeah, my glasses, I'm trying to look for the time, and I need glasses. What time is it, Miss? Okay. I thought that's where I was wanting to end up at. So if you are worried about America and all the news that seems to be going on right now and things are being shaken again, please read the book of Habakkuk. It's not, like I said, it's not a long book. And you can get wonderful jewels out of it that you can even quote over America, that you can say, I believe like Habakkuk did. I'm not going to complain like Habakkuk did. I'm going to end up like Habakkuk ended up. And I'm going to say that God is my strength. And he's going to give me feet in order to walk over these mountains and the thing that's going to happen in the future. Now, as usual, I don't get finished. And I knew I wasn't. I knew this was going on. So next week, I'm going to start in Psalms 119:28. And we're going to continue to talk about the strength of God until the Holy Spirit releases me from it. Because, you know, we are living in a time that we do not need to depend on the strength of our government, the strength of our insurance companies, the strength of our banks, our jobs, our families. Not total reliance. It's just a different world. And so I want to just teach. I need it. I feel like as Christians, we need to realize what having the strength of God actually means and that we carry it. What's marvelous is this wonderful, impressive strength that God has is right inside of us. Right inside of who we are. And we have that level of strength in us. I'm ready to finish, Glenn.